Hugh cried on cue, is what you're saying? Okay, that happens. Yeah. Does anybody here have the Amazon Echo or Alexa, by any chance? Yeah. So I just got one over the holidays, and it's quite fascinating. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's a speaker. It's a Bluetooth speaker, and it's like this little column. It's kind of like Siri, but it's just a column instead of a phone. And you can go to it, and you can ask it questions, and you can say stuff like, and this is the way I do it because I don't quite trust Alexa yet. I go, Alexa, play Ella Fitzgerald, please. And then she does it. Or you can also go, so this side can see my bottom, that you can also go, Alexa, when did Henry VIII die? Of course, I have Hugh in the house. I could probably ask him, not the Ella Fitzgerald one, but the Henry VIII one, I could. But, you know, you give her a command and she does it. And I say, my word has power. Shortly after I got my new best friend, Alexa, one of my other friends, Annette Bennett, sent me a video of a parrot talking to Alexa. And this was awesome. The parrot would go, Alexa! And she'd light up and the parrot would go, ah, 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 and Alexa would go, I'm sorry, I did not understand you. But then he learned, he went, Alexa! And Alexa flicked on, and the parrot said, turn off the lights! And you can wire it to, you know, turn off certain things in your house. And Alexa turned off the lights, and the parrot went, ooh! Was that me? So think about something in your life that has happened that has been surprising or baffling or disconcerting. Chances are you didn't go, was that me? No. Chances are, settle down, Carolyn. Chances are we start to blame what's out there rather than looking within to see if we can make constructive changes to our consciousness, because in this teaching we teach that our belief creates our experience. Our belief creates our experience of reality. So today the talk is called Let's Complain About Complaining. I didn't actually really mean it. If you came here to complain about complaining, I'm sorry, we're probably not going to complain about complaining. I don't know why I called it that. Maybe I was afraid no one would come if I said you shouldn't complain, people. Because we love our complaining, don't we? We're very attached to it. Let's Complain About Complaining is a talk about understanding that our word does have power, but if we're praying and affirming and hoping and knowing that something great is coming into our lives, if we fill our mind and our heart and our being with a lot of complaints, that's like wearing a sign around your neck that says, I don't really want it. I don't really want the good, right? So we're going to look at that and see if there is a way that we can do things differently. Does anybody here have a complaint about anything? Okay. You know, it's fine if you do. And one of the hazards in talking a talk where you're basically telling people to release the need to complain or refrain from complaining is that sometimes people feel so uptight that they start getting dishonest and that they pretend that things are all right when they're not. And that's not exactly what we're looking here for. We're looking for a release of complaining, but it is a mindful release of complaining. And it's a conscious complaining. So in other words, we can use our mindfulness, we can use our insight, we can use our wisdom, we can use our love, we can use our joy. Whenever we become aware of some litany of complaints about anything that is going through our minds over and over and over again, and then when we're able to see it, we can make a choice about it. We can ask ourselves, would I rather have all the good in the universe come to me, or would I rather have this complaint? That's a sobering thought, right? Because I do believe that the spiritual teachers who talk about the idea that complaining gets in our way of a divine experience, I believe that they're correct. There are many of them. Deepak Chopra in The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, he's talking about resistance. And resistance is the word that he uses, but complaining is a form of resisting. It's resisting what is. And Deepak Chopra says that when we complain, when we resist, it is as if we are taking on the entire universe. It is as if we are in a wrestling match with the entire universe, because the entire universe has conspired to bring us to this place, to this experience, to this time. And when we complain about it, we're saying, you know, actually, I know more than the entire universe, and this shouldn't be the way that it is right now. Same thing when we complain about other people. When we complain about other people, and I've watched myself do this week because I've had complaining on my mind, the art of complaining or conscious complaining on my mind, I realize that when I am embroiled in a complaint about another person, there's a subtle message of that person is wrong and I am right. That person should be more like me. Wouldn't it be horrible if everybody was more like you? Another spiritual teacher that I follow quite rigorously is Father Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan mystic. And he talks about complaining and how complaining categorizes the universe, which is basically whole. You know, in this teaching, we teach that there is an infinite wholeness that surrounds and encompasses and gives rise to everything, that everything is whole and perfect and complete in its divine nature. Sometimes it appears in distressing disguises, but everything truly is whole, perfect, and complete. And complete. Whole, perfect, and complete. That's a new one. Whole, perfect, and complete. But Richard Rohr says that when we complain, we start to categorize the universe. We say, this part of the universe is wrong. This part of the universe is right. This part of the universe is unacceptable. This part of the universe is acceptable. And that puts us in a place where we are seeing the universe through the eyes of dualism. And that keeps us from, again, recognizing our true nature and the level of power that we have when we embody our true nature and we use it in a constructive manner. Tosha Silver, the author of this book, It's Not Your Money. And whose money is it? It's the divine's money, actually. Everything belongs to love. Everything belongs to the divine. She has five methods for helping us receive abundance consciousness. The one that we studied last week in class was a change me prayer, where we ask the divine to change us and make us open to give and receive. But another one is cleaning out stuff, cleaning out closets, cleaning out garages. We cleaned out our garage and we both got sick afterwards, so that cough was just a reminder of what happened right after we cleaned out the garage. Cleaning out garages, cleaning out drawers, cleaning out your email, cleaning out your computer. That's a job, right? Going through old photos, going through old files. That all of that stuff is clearing, making more space for the new, making more space for the divine. But the third one that she says is that we are to refrain from complaining. In the book, she says to refrain from complaining about money, to stop complaining about money altogether. And I would suggest that since money is energy and everything is energy, it's even more helpful to stop complaining, or at least to be a conscious complainer about everything that happens. Because I have to tell you, this stuff really works. You know, at the bottom of everything that we're seeking, whether it is money, whether it's health, whether it's a relationship, at the bottom of everything, all what we really want is love or God or a closer walk with the divine, to recognize our true nature and to live that true nature in a way that makes us come alive and that has meaning and that has an impact on the well-being of all beings. That's what we're seeking. And letting go of complaining is a powerful, powerful way to find that which we are truly seeking, It may look like we're seeking a lot of stuff, but like in the Christian gospel, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. One of the reasons it's hard to sometimes seek first our relationship and our connection with the divine is we think, well, maybe God's not going to give me what I want, you know? Maybe I'm not going to get this thing that I want so badly. But we forget about that part, all of these things or something better will be added unto you. You will have everything that you want. We have everything that we want as soon as we turn to the divine and we recognize the true nature of reality and our place in it. So all of this is really nice in theory. Is anybody saying, yeah, I'm going to stop complaining? That sounds really good. I always mumble when I say something that I don't think anybody wants to hear. I said, yeah, I'm going to stop complaining. That sounds really good. I also mumble when I lie. Yeah, I'm going to stop complaining. That feels really good. But if we stop, just pick one area and see if you can do conscious complaining or refrain from complaining altogether and see what happens. I have several examples of that. This first one is an example of conscious complaining because I was in my stuff and I was complaining like a maniac about this. And it was something so small that I'm almost embarrassed to tell you because you'll find out what I'm really like. And do it, Margaret. Well, I try on Mondays to take a day off. It doesn't always work, but I try to create a church-free zone on Mondays so I can focus on other things and also have a little downtime. Our board president, Brock Travis, teaches a class on Monday nights, and he teaches for our congregation, but he also has two sections where he teaches for veterans that are struggling with trauma. And Brock emailed me and said that the veterans and he had written this book and they were launching the book on this particular Monday night. Would I come and celebrate it with them? And I couldn't say no. I really, really wanted to be there. I wanted to say yes, and yes, it was my day off, but I wanted to, first of all, celebrate the fact that they had written this book about trauma for veterans, trauma healing for veterans, and also I wanted to thank the veterans for serving and also for using our space because I believe that they bring a really nice energy to our space. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. So I got out of my pajamas at 5 p.m., and I got in the car, and I drove down there, down to the church, and I was going to keep it anonymous, but I'm not going to. Brother Brock was in my parking space. Yeah. On your knees. My parking space. Is it Brock's parking space? No. Is it Bonnie's parking space? Yes. So I parked someplace else, and I was not wearing the proper footwear. And by the way, I am willing to give my parking space to anybody who asks for it, particularly if you have some type of if you suffer with some type of an impediment that causes you to need to park close to the church. But I was not wearing the proper footwear, and I was not dressed warmly enough. How about that? So I had to walk. And I'm from New York. I'm a walker. You know, I walk like 6 miles a day. But still, in my own church, I had to walk from not my parking space, adding insult to injury, passing Brock's car in my parking space, and then go into the veterans place where I'm like, hi. I even gave a little passive-aggressive hint to Brock that he was in my space, but he didn't take it. He didn't follow it up. He didn't immediately say he was going to move it. Move that stupid car that was ruining my life. So we all sat in a circle, and it was one of those circles of sharing. And thank Jesus, Buddha, Allah, everybody, that it wasn't a situation where everybody had to go, because I was not in a place to share. Because all of the veterans were saying things like, yeah, I really suffered with trauma in the Vietnam War, and I'm just finally getting over this. And somebody there had like lost a limb in a war. And when it come to me, I'd be like, I'm really upset because Brock was in my parking space. I know. It's pitiful. You see what I'm like. You see how petty, and childish I am. But anyway, so...
Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have to say that it was conscious because I chose not to say anything about it and I chose not to act out on the complaint. And I actually, when I started doing that thing of, yeah, I know you've been traumatized, but I lost my parking space. when I started doing that, I started seeing the humor in it. So I just passed and I went home. And then the next day I talked to Brock about it and we came to an agreement about my parking space. But really, the agreement was more like, you know, I think you should park there. And he's like, no, I'm never going to park there again. No, you should park there. And it was all done with a lot of lightheartedness and joy. But the gift from that, the gift from doing conscious complaining was that I got to look at why parking in my parking space was such a big deal to me. And it was just about being recognized and feeling supported and all of that. And I know that my parking space is not my source, yeah. Right? Right? It is not my source of recognition. That's another big thing that she talks about in this book, is that love is our only source. Your parking space is not your source. Your money is not your source. The approval of other people is not your source. Love is your only source. And we have to continually turn back to love for our source validation and allow that love to lead us into the greater depth of knowing of who we really are. And one of the ways that we constructively turn back to that love is by letting go of complaining or consciously complaining. Another thing that happened was, has anybody here ever complained about being in traffic? Probably the whole room, need I ask, right? Even the balcony, maybe, right? And I had a day on Friday where I just had a very, very regimented schedule. I had a phone call and had to pick up something at the vet, small window, had to go to the doctor, had to call somebody, had to do some stuff at the church, went out to dinner with somebody. And it was very precise, and I had it on a list. I had it on a post-it, which meant that it had to happen the way that it was on my post-it, and it had to happen in a timely manner. And so I got in the car, and I got on the 126, and it was totally backed up. Totally backed up. It was a standstill. And I started making a whole list of complaints about what was wrong with that. A whole list, a whole dossier, a War and Peace-sized dossier of complaints as to what was wrong with that. And then I remembered, I'm reading this book where she says, try and let go of complaining. And so I was like, well, I could do that. Or I could complain, but I think I'll try something new. I think I'll try and let go of the complaining. And so I did. And the way that I let go of it that time was I just said, I offer this day and this drive to the divine. I offer this drive to the divine. I didn't make that up. It's in the book, okay? I offer this drive to the divine. And sure enough, eventually, I saw that I was looking at it with new eyes. The traffic cleared, and I saw what was going on. The people were cutting trees by the freeway. We don't really want trees hanging over the freeway, do we? No, it's a hazard. So I blessed the men who were cutting the trees. And I got to the vets, and for some reason the waters parted. There was no line, and I was able to get the medicine I needed and take it. And then every light seemed to be on time. Every light seemed to let me go. I was like Moses parting the Red Sea. Got to Kaiser. And because of the timing of it, I ran into somebody from the church there. And it was just such a delightful conversation that happened probably because I was stuck in traffic. I also arrived at Kaiser in a state of helpfulness where I was looking for people to serve. You know, last week when I spoke about what are the symptoms of enlightenment and awakening, it's when you close your eyes and you call forth peace, and when you open your eyes, you look for opportunities to serve. And so I knew I was in a really good place. And the rest of the day unfolded like that because of the miracle, hallelujah, brothers and sisters, the miracle of letting go of complaining, which is something that we're all capable of. One more story about this, and this is from a church member, former church member. She just moved away, and she was a practitioner here, and I miss her already. But anyway, she told me after the service last Sunday that she had been in a big fight with her husband. And you know when you're in an argument with someone, you're complaining. It's another form of complaint. You're saying that person is wrong and I'm right. And chances are in your head you're saying a lot of really bad complaints about the person you're arguing with, right? Sometimes you say them out loud. Oops. And then the other person is doing the same thing. They're complaining about that person over there and also saying complaints in their head about the person that they're arguing with. So she and her husband were having a big argument, and she said all of a sudden she got the urge to smile. But she said to me, "Bonnie, I didn't smile because if I smiled, he might think that I like him, and and he might think that he won the argument, and I don't want him to think that he won the argument. I wanted to win the argument." So they left it unfinished, and then later on she said she was feeling vulnerable, and she said to him, "You know, I really did want to just smile at you when you were arguing." And he said, "Well, you know, next time we argue about that, why don't you just try the smile?" And so, lo and behold, they argued about it again. She was into it, and all of a sudden she got the urge to smile. And she just smiled at him. And she said that her husband started laughing. And then they both started laughing. And once again, they were unified. And from that unified place, because she had let go of complaints and chosen to smile, they were able to sort out the issue that they were having with a lot of compassion for one another. It was a win-win that was greater than if either of them had gotten their way. So you see what letting go of complaining can do. My question for you this morning, or my suggestion for all of us this morning, including me, is to look at the areas of our lives where we tend to complain. It could be bold, it could be subtle. You don't have to start with the worst thing in the world. You don't have to start anywhere but where the divine leads you to start. And see if you're willing to either let go of the complaint or be a conscious complainer by applying wisdom and insight and mindfulness, kindness to yourself. We don't have to complain that we're complaining, right? We just allow ourselves to know that it's part of the human condition. Or also, perhaps just offering whatever it is you're complaining about, offering that to divine love. And then see what happens. I am 100% sure that something will shift for everyone. And when we move into that place of spaciousness, when we move into that place of calling forth divine love in our tiniest actions, we recognize once again, we support the principle that we lead, that we change the world through inner transformation. And when we do that, we join with a whole network of people that never make the news, but these unseen, peaceful warriors that are doing the work of peace, paradox, love, joy in small ways that bless everything. I would like to be part of that network, and I hope you do too. Let's join it now. Let us pray.